Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. We especially appreciate that. And we've got some good stuff lined up for you in the half hour straight ahead. Our good buddy, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, is back with us. Bill is the, as you know very well, is the chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and chief and also professor of economics at Temple University, having formerly at one time before when he wanted to work a whole lot harder. He was formerly the head of the business school over there at Temple. And more importantly, he's our good friend. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Let's have a good 2008 together. What do you think?
I'm in favor of that.
does the survey indicate that we will have one of those?
I think so. You know, it's obviously, we're growing much more slowly, but we predicted that. We've been predicting about 2% growth, a weak 2, now for a while, and that looks like what we're going to get. We're not going to get zero like most of my colleagues seem to be forecasting for the fourth quarter. But clearly there was a major deceleration. Everybody said it's going to be slower in the fourth. Well, of course, I mean, the third quarter was 5% growth.
It was ridiculous.
You had to slow down from that.
We had the fourth quarter and the third quarter, didn't we?
Yeah, the third and the fourth were huge-os, and so no surprise we would slow down. If we just repeated the third quarter and had no growth, it would be a huge number. I mean, we would have been doing very well.
Right.
So the growth is going to be slow as we measure it because the denominator, which is the third quarter, was really big. So the percentage change is going to be relatively small, but not like people were talking about. I still don't see with our data, I don't see the, a problem in the economy, other than we are slow, and we'll be slower than 3, which is kind of our long-run average.
Well, I don't know if you saw my predictions, but I predicted two predictions that I made. I'll tell you those right now, and you can let you comment on. I predicted that there would not be a recession that begins in 08. But then I followed it up with the prediction that if there is a recession associated with what's going on right now, it actually began in fourth quarter 07, will be over by first quarter 08, and we won't know any of that until May. What do you think about those two?
Well,
what do you think about
right.
those two predictions?
Yeah, you know, it's possible. I don't really see us slowing down enough to have a recession, but we will certainly have a slow period. But you're right, you know, it's not going to be so bad that we're going to really, feel it that hard. And that's, of course, the problem that the government faces. We're talking about this $100 billion stimulus package, but by the time Congress...
I hate that, don't you?
Yeah, by the time they recognize we have a problem, and then they debate what to do forever, and then finally pass a bill, and then, call the mayors up and say, you got money to spend, and the mayors put out the proposals and get by the time the money gets in, it's too late because the average recession's less than 9 months long. So,
To me...
We'll heal ourselves by then.
This thing the government's working on is so unseemly to me. I mean, it's like catching a kid in the candy, in a box of candy, and having it all over him, and you take the candy away and he starts crying and you give him another piece to get him to shut up. It really bugs me that the government thinks it's got to come in and give us back our money. I don't know. What do you think about this whole thing?
They aren't going to give it back anyway. They're going to every dollar they give us. They've made a commitment for spending, right? So let's say they're going to spend $1,000 this year, and if they're going to cut taxes and give us some money back in a tax cut, they just have to borrow it back from somewhere.
Right. Right.
Now, if they borrow from the Chinese, we'll be back in the same old game, which is too much spending and a huge trade deficit.
So I'd rather they just keep their money.
I think they should just pay
I'd rather they keep our money, I should say.
Yeah, keep and cut spending and make the deficit go down. I'd be in favor of that, but because it's not a totally real game when you are trying to keep the economy floating by borrowing money from somebody else to keep spending up here, which, you know, eventually you have to pay back. At least the interest burden keeps getting bigger, and we don't like that.
Right. But doesn't it bother you, and I know it does, that politicians believe that when something like this happens, somebody actually thinks, let's give everybody $250. What kind of how stupid is that?
Yeah.
For one thing, it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it might get spent, but the point is, for every, you know, if they have to cut their spending for every dollar they give us, then it's a wash.
Plus, it probably costs the government $300 to give us $250.
You're probably right. It's the bureaucracy.
Exactly. Stand by. Quick break. We'll come back. I'm going to ask Bill what his recent survey said about credit for you and me, for small business owners, and whether he's concerned about inflation or not. That's coming up right after the next break. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
In a white room with black curtains, near the station.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. And we're talking about the most recent survey, folks, that Bill has conducted with small business owners, as he's been doing now for decades, over 30 years. He's been polling small business owners once a month to find out what they say. People like you and me, maybe you're one of the respondents, who to find out what you think is going on out there in the economy, and then he compiles all of your responses and puts them into a report, and we're the beneficiaries of that report every single month. And Bill, one of the things, tell us what your respondent said about credit is with regard to small business, credit availability.
Well, since everybody started talking about credit in August and talking about a credit crunch and credit markets freezing up, small business owners across the country have said, "What? what credit? What credit problem?" So they really haven't seen it. They still didn't see any in December. I suppose a few of our small business owners probably have loans with the Bank of America and Citicorp, and they probably noticed a little bit of tightening up there because orders come down from Wall Street, from those people who have a bizarre perspective on the U.S. economy.
Right.
And they say tighten up. So a few of our members, I suspect, are probably seeing a little bit of tightening. But in the overall numbers, we basically don't see any change in credit availability, you know, now compared to early last year, 2006, when credit was so easy. I mean, it all looks very good out there on Main Street.
Well, you know, Bill, I actually said that with so many of these banks not being able, even, and I'm talking about even small banks. I know you're part owner of an independent community bank too. So many of these small banks who have their own mortgage companies, which were packaging local mortgages and securitizing them upstream, or sending them upstream to be securitized, without those fees that they have had for all these years, they're actually going to be looking more to small business owners to build their earnings up for the next year or so. What do you think about that?
Well, that could be. We're going to have to do a lot to build earnings up. I'll give you an example from our bank. Just the Fed rate cuts that we've had to date cost us about $8,000 a month in revenue. And this was our break. 2007 was our break-even year. We actually made about $36,000 or a cent and a half a share. That was our break-even year.
Yeah.
And we now have to find $8,000 more a month to make up for the losses we had.
How did that cost you money?
Well, because we have about $40 million in variable rate.
Oh, I see what you mean. In your own investments.
So our revenue is down.
Yeah.
The people who have the variable rates, you know, are happy that they're paying less, but we're now going to have to pay our savers less. That is, the savers,
right,
when you cut rates like the, you know, when you do these kinds of things, savers lose and the debtors win, and that's often the case in these kinds of cycles.
So if you've got a business that's operated properly, you've got a reasonable proposal, you've got your credit worthy at all, There is no shortage of credit for small business owners in America, is there?
That's right. We see that there is really no problem. Now, if the economy were to really plunge into some kind of a real recession and consumers really stop coming, then you can see that banks would be less willing to lend. But that's
and when you say
case out in the real world, you know.
And that scenario that you just described is you're talking about worse than just something like we had in 2001.
Yes, definitely.
That more than just a couple of quarters.
Hardly a recession. That was
right.
Really, you know, we had to really struggle to call that a recession. To you know, looking at the statistics, by the time they were revised a few times. It was definitely a slow period, but...
Well, see, I remember fourth quarter in 2000. There were some rough things that happened in that quarter. And I haven't seen any of those kinds of signs this time, other than with the big financial companies, which is a global problem for the subprime that was created by the subprime meltdown, not something that was intrinsic to the economy.
Exactly. Now, there's no question that the housing markets, you know, in the tank. They aren't building many new houses because we built 2 million extra houses over the, you know, 2003 to 2006 period, and it'll take time to unwind that. But,
and aren't some people going to find opportunity in the housing situation right now?
Oh, sure. And it's also not evenly spread across the U.S. You know, most of the extra homes built are in Florida and California and maybe in Vegas and Phoenix. But, you know, the rest of the country didn't participate in that huge overbuilding, so life will be fairly normal there, so housing starts
but if you listen,
back. And,
but if you listen to the talking heads, you'd think it's a national bubble, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's not.
When you look at the world from the 50th story of some Wall Street building, why the world is looking different to you.
Exactly.
But
what
about
inflation?
Can't see very far.
are you worried about inflation?
I am worried about inflation. Our people, for example, are raising prices at a pretty good clip. We had a net 16% of all firms raise prices in December, and just to give you a little perspective, if you want to get the CPI inflation down around 2 or 3, that number needs to be about 2 or 3, or at least under 5. So we're a long way from 5%. We're 3 times that, and I think that we have an inflation problem. The Fed, of course, is providing cheap liquidity. The medicine the Fed is giving us is the same policy that got us into trouble in the first place. Very low interest rates, getting people to do silly things looking for a decent yield, and here we are again.
Well, and you attribute that to not having enough grown-ups over at the Fed, don't you?
Well, let's say they're a little low on the experience side, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think I heard you say something like that once before.
Yeah.
When we come back, I'm going to get Bill to talk to us a little bit more about some of the other things that he's learned about what you're saying about the economy, and then we're going to get Bill to give us his advice on how you and I should be thinking about 2008 and our business. Tintel, stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back.
Well, I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. It's your desire.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, and we're talking about the most recent Small Business Economic Trends Survey that he conducts every month. This one's for the month of December, right, Bill?
Right, that's the last one. We're in the middle of January, and we'll have that one in a couple weeks.
Now, if you're worried about inflation and the Fed is cutting interest rates, that's not going to help inflation.
No, you know, it won't, because, you know, basically it's you know, cutting interest rates makes credit cheaper, and people will then, presumably, that's the model, borrow more and spend more, and that means prices won't fall, and they can rise more easily when the money machine is printing. So, you know,
are you worried about the dollar? Are you worried about the value of the dollar against other currencies?
Not really. No, I'm not. You know, if you go back to, say, you know, 1990, and then watch the dollar, or go back to 1980, the trade-weighted value of the dollar was about 50 as an index. It started rising in 1995 sharply with when everything else did, when home ownership and, you know, the stock market, the dot-com, the whole thing, the dollar started rising and peaked in 2001 at an index value of about 120, and now we're down to around 90. So, you know, we're way above where we were accustomed to being for, you know, 15, 20 years. although from the peak in 2001, we certainly have come down a long way. But you know, our manufacturers are and our farmers are delighted.
They like that. They like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exports go up, which we've noticed that once the dollar weakens. And
right.
You know, it's certainly expensive to go to London or Tuscany.
It's a good time to learn to visit the United States,
exactly.
To stay here, to stay home. Isn't it? Bill,
exactly. Go see the Grand Canyon.
What's it going to take for the talking heads to realize that Wall Street is the tail wagging the dog and that there's this whole other, more than half of the economy out there that they should be paying attention to? How long is it going to take for that to happen? Is that ever going to happen?
No, it'll happen as they are shown to be incorrect, and that'll take a while.
And that might happen. That might happen this year.
Well, that'll happen this year. I think the first quarter is going to come in a lot stronger than everybody predicted, and they'll say, "Gee, we don't understand how that happened."
They'll say, "How could that happen? Citibank laid off 20,000 people. This can't happen."
Yeah, there's a high correlation we found over the past 50 years between an economist's forecast for the economy and what's happening in his or her own industry. So if your industry's in the tank, which is where Wall Street is, then you think the whole economy's in the tank. And it's just not the case. Not the case.
Well, and of course, you know, exactly. And I still say Wall Street is the tail wagging the Main Street dog.
Certainly, wagging the Fed's dog.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. They're telling the Fed what they have to have.
Have you ever seen so much whining in all your life or so much capitulation by the Fed?
Right. If the Fed doesn't deliver what the market wants, then they punish the economy by driving the stock market down 300 points and blah, blah, blah. You know.
What are your small business owners talking to you about capital spending? What are they saying about that?
Well, we actually had some good numbers on capital spending in the December survey. The percent of firms reporting capital outlays was up 3 points, so it was running around 30%. So almost a third of our guys
was that potentially
out there buying stuff.
Was that potentially to take advantage of the accelerated tax credit? Tax deduction, Section 179 tax deduction.
It could be. It could
direct
be.
Direct expenses is what I'm trying to say.
What we know is that the tax credits of various kind, investment tax credits in various shapes, don't really change the level of investment, just the timing.
Yeah.
And so it could be. It was the end of the year.
January capital spending will be a good juxtaposition to that December.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in January. We'll see if it holds up.
Yeah.
We were happy about that.
I got about a minute left, Bill. What advice do you have for small business owners for 08?
Well, I think the answer is to be cautious, but remember that your market is not the whole economy. So you have to really take a good look at your market and see how it's doing and make all of your investment and hiring decisions based on that. If you're in Detroit, your local environment, your local economy is not doing well. But there are lots of parts of the country where they are doing well, especially through the South and the mountain states and so on. And
yeah.
So if your market looks good, that's the only one that you care about.
Where have you heard that before, folks? Look around you. Look at your customers. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't listen to the talking heads on Wall Street. Hey, Bill, who's going to win? Who's going to win the Republican primary in Michigan today?
Good. Is that today? That's a good question. I'll pick Romney because his dad was governor when I was there. But
good choice. Hey, thanks, Bill, for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, with the NFIB. That's NFIB.com. Check that out. And you can also find his report there, and you can find it at my website as well, and other places. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.